Now reading from the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. Gospel of Luke chapter 5. And this is a lectionary reading today. Still in the season of Epiphany, and which means the manifestation, to understand. And this certainly works with that theme as the disciples understand more clearly who Jesus is. Hear God's word from Luke chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Thus far, the reading from God's holy word. And we'll have prayer at this time. Lord, we thank you for the gospel that gives us the work of Christ and teaches us of his person. And we pray that we would take to heart the message that is here, not only in the experience of Peter and Andrew and James and John, the first disciples, but also in us as we relive the story, that we would go home with the same message that they did. And we would pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week, people were very gracious to me, and they said, "You know, if you need to, next Sunday, be sure to sit down again." And in the passage, I had not looked ahead to this week. I'd actually cited this passage as a time, another time when Jesus taught sitting down. And here we are again. The location for the story that we read in Luke's gospel is the Lake of Gennesaret. And what we have here is another name for the Sea of Galilee. And Gennesar was a city above Tiberias, and Tiberias was a Roman city. We don't know that Jesus ever went to Tiberias, but it was an important city. And so sometimes a lake would be called by that important city of Tiberias. And in the Old Testament, it was called the Sea of Chinnereth, referring to the heart shape of the lake that's 7 miles across and 13 miles long and 160 feet deep. So it's a pretty sizable body of water, and it's a freshwater lake. The Jordan River comes down from the top, and it flows through the bottom going down into the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea. So this body of water is at least four names that I know of in the Bible, depending on where you're at. People called it by all sorts of names. We call them, you know, I went out to the Missouri River, I went out to Lake Oahe. You know, we have different names for the same thing. And so now it's being referred to as the Lake of Gennesaret. And that's what it is, really. It's a lake, a big lake. And this is where a lot of the ministry of Jesus takes place. I don't know if there's some 18 miracles that take place in this area. And it's a wonderful place in Israel, a beautiful location. If we could have been there today, they're 7 hours ahead of us in time, it would have been 63 degrees. That would have been pretty nice. It's actually a pretty nice place to visit even in January. 63 degrees today at the Sea of Galilee at Capernaum. And this is where this particular event takes place. And Jesus is preaching, and this is what he was doing. This is what he came to do. It was one of his great missions. It was even a greater mission than healing people. He was a great and final prophet. He's the one that brings the word of God. And a disciple like us, you know, we're to learn and we're to follow him, we're to imitate him. We need to understand the word of God. A true disciple needs to understand the word of God. And here Jesus is by the lake, the Sea of Galilee, and the people are crowding around him and they're listening to the word of God. So Jesus isn't just making conversation here. He is teaching them the word of God, and people really want to hear. But it's a bit of a nuisance, actually, because they're so close to him, and they're crowding around him, and he's down by the water's edge. I've only had this experience a couple times in my life where I've been in a situation. It's usually a small building, and there are too many people in it. And you have to project your voice because there's no microphone. We're really spoiled today. Speakers are really spoiled by microphones. But in those days, you had to project your voice. And so if you're in a situation like that, you have to project your voice. The people in the back say, I can't hear. And so if the person is this far away from you, it's really awkward. It's really awkward if you're marrying a couple. And you have to yell, and they're about this far away from you. It's just very awkward. And so Jesus needs to have a little distance from his audience, and he requests Peter's boat. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. So Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, verse 3, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And so what Jesus does is he gets in this boat, he asks Peter to row him out a little bit, and then he teaches the people from the boat. Now, this is making good use of the acoustics. You know, sometimes you've noticed that people are on the water and you can hear their voices from a long way away. Jesus is in the boat. He's sitting down again to teach. I told you before of this preacher at camp that stood up in the boat and fell out as he was in a Galilean service. Well, Jesus didn't do that. He sat down. That's what you're supposed to do in a boat to teach. He sat down and he made use of these acoustics of the water. So he's not very far from the shore. Now, if you've read Luke through as a book, you started chapter 1, you read it through, you'll notice ahead of this that Jesus was at a synagogue in Capernaum, and following that, he goes to Peter's house. So Peter knew him, and Peter, you can be sure, held Jesus in very high esteem. Because when Jesus came to Peter's house, his mother-in-law was sick with a fever, and Jesus healed her. And she got up and waited on him, and so Jesus had dinner at Peter's home. They knew each other. Peter, no doubt, admired him. But at this time, he was not called to be a disciple. And Peter was a fisherman. And now Jesus had asked something of him. He asked him to put out a little from shore, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, we can be certain that Peter saw this as an opportunity, saw this as, you know, he was privileged to do this. But it was also a situation that for him required effort. Because we learn in verse 5 that he had worked hard all night. He had fished all night. And he didn't do that by laying back in the cushioned seat and watching his rod. He had been pulling the net. He had fished all night. He'd been working. He'd been up all night working. And now Peter heard the word of God as Jesus taught him. But just picture yourself, for instance, and maybe sometimes you have come to church. I have done this. I have come to church where I've been up all night. And it's pretty tough. Maybe that's happened to you. You've been up all night. Maybe you've been working hard all night. And it's Sunday. It's time for church. And you went to church. Sometimes people tell me, well, they say, you know, Pastor, I'm sorry, if I fall asleep today, you know, I was out with the cattle, and I don't mean anything, but I was working hard. Well, Peter had that experience as he's sitting in the boat, and it's like, you know, not only is Jesus the preacher here, but his attention would be in full view of the congregation. It would be like if, you know, you had that experience, you'd been up all night, and I invite you to come up and sit in one of these chairs here. And you'd have to stay awake. And you'd have to be, you know, with it. And this is Peter here. The mission of Jesus was bringing the word of God to his people. And that is so important for all of us. You can't imagine how important that is for every part of our life, that you know what God's word tells you on how to live your life. It's so extremely important. We don't know what Jesus said in this sermon. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, he really has a wide range of topics that he covers about our attitude and about prayer. And he goes into, you know, how we're to treat our enemies. And he talks about, you know, giving to the poor. And he talks about all forgiveness and so many things. We don't know what he talked about here. We don't know his sermon in terms of the subject matter. But his mission was to bring the word of God. And it really covers all of life. Back in the 70s, when I was in seminary, there was a radio program, actually some radio stations. It was called Family Radio. And one of the programs that was on was called Open Forum. And the pastor, actually a layman, who was actually an engineer by trade, but he had studied the Bible a lot. And he was given questions on the Bible. And people would call in and ask him questions. And I was learning the scriptures at that time in seminary. And I would listen to him, and people would give questions, and I would think about what would be the right answers, and his answers are so orthodox and helpful. But then in 1988, after I became a pastor and quit listening to him, really, because we didn't have these radio stations in this area at that time, in 1988, he quit his church, and he taught at that time that all churches were apostate. Now, apostate means that you're no longer teaching what Christ teaches. You've turned away. And Harold Camping was of the opinion that people should leave church. They're not doing you any good. And then he also went on to more problems, predicting that the end of the world would happen in 2011. As you know, that didn't take place. Now, I was baffled by this because, you know, any person I would think in this church that I taught any length of time would know that you don't leave the church. That no matter how frustrating it is, and there are people that get you ticked off at times, that's a place that you learn to practice forgiveness and Christian love. And, you know, if Christ is being preached, that's what we need. And you don't abandon that. You don't walk away from that like Harold Camping did, who was given the answers of the scriptures in the Bible. And you certainly don't predict the end of the world. We've gone over that every year. You know, and I knew people growing up that were doing this and saying, oh, I don't think you'll ever see your children grow up. Well, that's happened now. And I'm watching grandchildren grow up. Well, we don't know when Christ is going to return. And so we need to be very, very obedient about that and not predict. Here, you know, we have opportunity to hear the scriptures. And God tells us about our lives, how we need to serve Him, how we need to live a life of faith. And the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. We're supposed to live our lives trusting God's word. And Jesus came here, and what the people were doing, they were listening to the word of God. And really, that's what we're all about today. We see that the true disciple needs to learn the reasoning of Peter now, as it goes on here in our text, where when he had finished speaking, when the sermon was over, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Now, here we find that the one who heard the sermon has to heed the master's authority. Jesus said, after the sermon was closed, Peter, let's go fishing. Put out in the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. You can be sure that the congregation heard this. We don't hear anything more about them, but they were in hearing distance. Jesus was talking to them. The sermon was over. They probably didn't go home right away. They wanted to see maybe Jesus get out of the boat or something. Maybe they wanted to go out and talk to him some more. And they heard him say, Peter, go out in the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Well, this request does not make sense to Peter. He is done fishing. They fished at night. And Peter has been at this all night. He responds in verse 5, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. It would be like if you came in with your boat and you've start putting away your equipment and someone said to you, take your boat out for a catch. And you say, what? I'm exhausted. I've been out there in the waves and I've caught nothing. I'm not going out there. That doesn't make any sense to me. This request was not convenient to Peter at all. Not convenient. Because we read in verse 2 that Jesus saw them washing their nets. In other words, they were putting away their equipment. They were done. And now Jesus said, one other request, go out to the deep, put out in the deep water, and let down the nets for a catch. And Peter said, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. So Peter was willing. Peter was willing because and only because the Lord Jesus said to do it. And here's his reasoning. And if you could take this home with you, this would be perfect. Master, because you say so, I will. I'll do it. I'll let down the nets. Master, because you say so, I will. See, that's where we need to go. Because the word of Christ, the word of God, addresses every area of your life, every relationship you have. You know, if a person's married, it tells you how to treat your husband. How does it respect your husband? tells husbands to respect and honor their wives. 1 Peter chapter 3. People ought to see that in your relationship. Tells you how to raise your children and the nurture and admonition of the Lord and the training. It tells children how to treat their parents. And it tells employers how to treat their employees and employees how to work for the people that are employing them. It speaks about our employment. It speaks about our citizenship, our relationship to our country, the people in office over us. It really addresses every area of our life. And where we turn away from that, that's going to be our downfall. But you know what? It's not always going to make sense to us. And it's not always going to be convenient. And we're going to have the feeling, you know what? I don't feel like it. Peter didn't feel like it. He did not feel like it. And he said, Master, because you say so, I will. The true disciple needs to learn that Jesus is divine, that he's more than a man. He's not just another rabbi, not a person you can say, well, you know, that's good advice. Well, the Lord had a lesson for the disciples, and Peter's the one that's featured here. But at various verses, in verses 5 and 6, we see the plural being used as if there are two people in the boat, which seems most likely. And in comparison from other accounts, we see Andrew also at the scene here. Peter and the brother Andrew in the boat. And the Lord had a lesson for them. As they go out into the deep and as the net goes overboard, there's a miracle. It's not just like the fish showed up there. It is a miracle that Jesus shows he has power over nature. He is the Lord of creation. He has power over nature. And there's an amazing catch of fish. These are commercial fishermen, and they have put down their nets, and there's such a large catch that their nets began to break. It doesn't say that they broke, but they were certainly strained. So that they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And so there were these two boats on the shore originally. There was this boat that had Jesus offshore preaching that went out into the deep. And now this net full of fish was too much for the boat, and they signaled the other boat. The other boat, the people in the boat, were the partners of Simon, James, and John. And they come with their boat. And they haul in these fish. How many fish? An amazing catch. Not only breaking the net, but filled the boats. So, okay, sometimes we've done real well out there fishing. Fish were biting. And, of course, we have possession limits, so we don't have anything like this. And we're not commercial fishing. But here, in this amazing miracle, they fill the boats with fish. So much that the boats start to sink. What an amazing, amazing catch. And it's a picture, finally, when Jesus comes to back on this for the lesson. It's a picture of the harvest of souls that would come from the disciples' ministry in verse 11, when they were called to follow him and be at this work of fishing. That's really part of being a disciple. You know, when you share the word of God, you don't know what's going to happen. And so many times it seems so pointless. And you've tried it so often, and nothing's come of it. But Jesus said to go try it again. And so you go try it again. And with his blessing, something will come of it. And so this miracle encourages us. It encourages us, not only James and John and Peter and Andrew, but encourages us in every effort we make for the Lord. So, you know, you're tired and your child needs a bedtime story. Your child needs to have the Word of God. Is it really going to matter? Well, yes. And you read anyway, even though you don't feel like it. And you make an effort for the Lord. And you realize that if he's in it, something great is going to happen. The true disciple needs to understand experientially the holiness of Christ. I put that word in there. Some people may not know it, but think of the word experience. To know it experientially, you need to understand it experientially. In other words, say, for instance, you read a book on how to milk a cow by hand. Okay? So you have the basic idea. But when you sit down by the cow and you wash the udder and you start to make the motion and find out how to do it, now you're understanding it experientially. You're not just reading it in a book conceptually, but now you're understanding it in the experience. And Peter here is not thinking like a commercial fisherman. A commercial fisherman? This is the catch of his life? Jesus, you need to be my partner. Can you come back tomorrow? That's how a commercial fisherman would have thought. Yeah, Peter wasn't thinking like that. Peter had a spiritual experience, like Isaiah that we read about earlier, that went to the temple. And the temple was filled with smoke, and he saw the Lord. He saw Christ on the throne. And Peter had an epiphany. He saw Christ. He saw who he was, that he was even a greater person than he realized. And at that moment, he realized his sinfulness. Isaiah realized, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. Peter confessed his sinfulness. He saw his unworthiness. When he fell at Jesus' feet and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." He saw his sin. It was so condemning of him at that point in the presence of Christ, because he understood the miracle. He was so humbled by what he saw, and he repented of his life, of the times in which he rebelled against the word of God. And so we see an attitude which is just the opposite of pride. And the Bible said that God does not reject a broken and contrite heart. And so whenever you see pride and you see people really don't understanding Jesus, that's not anything like the experience of Peter here. Peter saw Christ. He saw his unworthiness, and he confessed his sin. And then, like Isaiah, he experienced God's grace in the words of Jesus. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And so he was called to service. He was called and said, Jesus said, you know, "Don't be afraid," in the connection with his forgiveness and for his calling, that he would be, as we would say from other places, a fisher of men. And he would do so because Christ would make him that. Well, the disciples saw this great privilege. And the disciples left everything to follow him. They left everything, verse 11 says. They pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything and followed him. I'm sure that boatloads of fish paid a lot of bills for him and made possible some that they could take off for a time. But they had Christ first and the mission of the kingdom first. Luke 14:33, in that later chapter, Jesus says to the disciples that you can't put anything ahead of him. You can't put your father, your mother, your wife, or your children, or anything ahead of him. And he said, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to leave everything behind. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to quit farming. It doesn't mean that you no longer are faithful in your relationships. But it means that you serve Christ first. That he gets a priority, that you follow him, that people would say of you, that you follow Christ in your life, that you are an example of putting his word into practice. And so the miracle today, the conclusion, You know, if the Lord has commanded you in the Word, you know, here's what you need to do, then you obey Him in your life. Like Peter, you say, Master, because you say so, I will. And you trust the Lord for the good outcome, even when you don't feel like it. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we fool ourselves and we think that we always have to feel like it to do the work for your kingdom, to serve Jesus faithfully. And we know that's true, not true in other areas of life. Don't allow us to fool ourselves here. And help us, Lord, to just be obedient to what Christ would tell us now. We ask in His name. Amen.